Today, we're going to talk about the only New Year's resolution. And actually, I told my wife this morning, she said, what are you preaching about? I said, the only New Year's resolution. And she said, yeah, just draw closer to God. Did she say it all? Do I need to preach today? Well, actually, fortunately, we're going to go biblically about what is the only New Year's resolution. Are you paying attention, class? All right. So, online, these are the top 10 New Year's resolutions. Lose weight. Okay. I'm so glad I did this. I brought a new battery. And I had this in my briefcase. I shouldn't put my phone in the same pocket with the battery. And I noticed that it was turned on in my briefcase. So I brought a spare battery. And let's see how this one works. Very good. How about the same? It's fine. Okay, so let's go back. All right, top 10 New Year's resolutions. Lose weight. I won't have you raise that hand if that's one of yours. Stay in touch. That's with family and friend connections. Quit smoking. Save money. Cut your stress. Volunteer. Go back to school. Cut back on alcohol. Get more sleep and travel. Sound pretty good? If you draw closer to the Lord, could you still have all 10 of those? Yes. So what I'm going to share with you goes beyond this. Are you ready? Okay, so why are you here in church today? Anybody, why are you here?
Worship.
To worship. Worship what? Worship your Father? Your Father in heaven? Anybody else have another reason why you're here? Encouragement, one another? How about fellowship? What?
Family and friend connections.
All right. So there are many reasons why we come to church. But maybe you come here so you can get closer to the Lord, like my wife said, to spend that time where you're going to get closer to Him. Why was Jesus here? Okay, that's maybe one reason. You know, the Bible tells us why he was here. Ready? Oh. For the Son of Man has come to what? He came to seek and to save the lost. That's what the Bible teaches, is why Jesus came. Did he have an advantage over us? Okay, I'm going to say something that maybe sounds a little wild and crazy. I believe he had a big advantage over us. And I'm going to share what that advantage was. 2 Corinthians 5:21, he made him who knew what? To be sin on our behalf that we might become the righteousness of God in him. 1 John 3:5, you know that he appeared in order to take sin away sins, and in him there was what? Isn't that an advantage? If you didn't have any sin in you, wouldn't it be easier to be a Christian? Okay, I'd like to tell you straight out, the Bible says Jesus didn't have any sin. In fact, we know that he didn't have any inclination to sin as we do. He was not inclined to give in to sexual fantasies. He was not inclined to steal. He wasn't inclined to do any of the things that we want to do sometimes, even in our minds. Yes, but Hebrews 4:15, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted, what? In all things, what? As we are, yet without sin. So if he was not tempted to sin because he didn't have any sin like we do, how could he be tempted? You ever ask that question of yourself? Ah, the Bible has an answer. Are you ready? How could he be tempted like me when he had no sin in him? I think that's a good question we should all ask. It is because who he was and what he had to do. First of all, he was what? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that came into being. And if we go to verse 14, all things came into being through him, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Why? I memorized that. In fact, I was just saying it. All things came into being through him, and apart from him came into being that, and nothing has come into being. And the Word dwelt among us. The Word dwelt among us. It's what he had to do. Therefore, Jesus answered and was saying to them, "Truly, truly, I say unto you, the Son can what? The Son can do nothing of himself unless it is something he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, these things the Son also does in like manner." How many things did Jesus do apart from the Father? In other words, he only did what the Father asked him to do. How about John 5:30? "I can do nothing on my own initiative. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just because" what? "I do not seek my own will, but the will of him who sent me." Okay, think about that. Did Jesus do anything that he wanted to do? Okay, did he want to go to the cross? What did he say when he was going to the cross? "If it's your will, I don't want to do this." But he did God's will, no matter how crucifying that was to his own nature. Jesus did exactly what we have to do. 1 Peter 2:21, "For you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered you, leaving you" what? "An example for you to follow in his steps." In other words, what Jesus did, complete the sentence. What Jesus did, we should do too. Does that make sense? What Jesus did, we need to do. Now, did Jesus do anything on his own? Or did he do just what the Father asked him to do? Okay. Jesus brought heaven down so that you could be lifted up. Now, I want you to imagine this huge magnet in heaven. And that huge magnet was constantly pulling Jesus where? Did he want to be here? Okay. Yes, you're right. But, okay, let's put it another way. Let's suppose you get dumped in the worst sewer in the world and shoved under. Do you want to get out? You're covered in the most smelly stuff and you're there in the worst sewer in the world. You want to get out? I'm going to propose to you that Jesus brought perfection into the sewer. And there was a magnet pulling him up constantly, but he did his Father's will. Does that make sense to you? Okay. Now, you, there's a magnet. Guess where that is? That's pulling you down. Got it? There's a huge magnet pulling you down. There was a magnet pulling him up. There's a magnet pulling you down. But he did God's will no matter what he wanted to do. Just like we, what? He was tempted as we are, just the same way, but not in the same things. He had no inclination to be selfish or to sin as we are. Did he have any inclination to lust? No. Gluttony. Greed. Sloth. Wrath. Envy. Pride. None of that was in our Savior. None of it. All the things that pull us down weren't pulling him down. But there was a force pulling him up. I would say this. There was a stronger magnet pulling him up than is pulling us down. It was more difficult for him to stay here than it is for us to rise above our natures. In fact, I started learning about this when I read Ellen White. If you have a hard time with Ellen White, please don't have a hard time with this next quote. Jesus was tempted to what? He was tempted to use his power. Think about it. Let's suppose somebody steals from you. Like somebody stole from our salon, wiped the salon out a couple weeks ago. Took everything that was nailed down. Everyone knows that stealing is wrong, right? And they took everything that we had. Let's suppose you could click your finger and everything would be returned. Let's suppose you could click your finger and the guys that did it were in jail for the rest of their life. Let's suppose you could give them some personal agony while you're at it. Oh. My dad used to say, we're driving down the road and there's this car that just won't get out of the way. He used to say, wouldn't it be nice if we could just raise our car up, go over on top of them, go down a couple times on the roof, go over in front, and drive on our way. There are so many things we could do if we had the power, isn't there? But did Jesus have that power? Did he have more power than that? Could if he clicked his finger and everybody would have believed in him? Could if he clicked his finger and everybody would have not had a problem with alcohol? Could have he clicked his fingers and all the problems of food would have been taken care of in the world? But he didn't. He followed his Father's will. We cannot imagine how difficult that was for him. You get it? You can't even think of how difficult that was for him. To be known the perfection of heaven and to be here amongst all the selfishness. Do you think his brothers made fun of him when he was kind? Do people make fun of those that are kind today? Do you think it looks like weakness when you're always giving in to others? He was tempted to use his power. Matthew 4, 1 through 11. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he then became hungry. And the tempter came to him and said to him, if you're the Son of God, command these stones become bread. Now, you ever been tempted to do that? Is that a good question? Why was he tempted to do that? Because he could. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Who was he following? Was he hungry? Did he want bread? But he was following his Father. Then the devil took him into the holy city and had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you're the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, let's use the Bible now, right? He will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Do you think Jesus would have liked to set an example that everyone would have believed in him? Jesus said to him, on the other hand, it is written, you shall not put your Lord your God to the test. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me. Has anybody ever tempted you to jump off a building? Has anybody said they'll give you the whole world if you'll just worship them? He was tempted in all ways, what? Like as we are. He was tempted to do his own will and not his Father's. Then Jesus said to him, go, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Was Jesus doing that? Was he serving the one master? Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and began to minister him. You know, all the temptations of Jesus I've never had. But I've had ones like them. He was tempted to be raised up while I'm tempted while being pulled down. In fact, I told you, Ellen White paid the book Confrontation, page 85. It was a difficult task for the Prince of Life to carry out the plan which he had undertaken for the salvation of man, in clothing his divinity with humanity. He had received honor in the heavenly courts and was familiar with what? Absolute power. It was as difficult task for him to keep the level of humanity as it is for men to raise above the low level of their depraved natures and become partakers of the divine nature. It was as difficult for him to remain here as it is for us to become partakers of the divine nature and be lifted up. Folks, there's a big magnet pulling you down. Just like there was a big magnet pulling him up. And we don't even understand the magnet fully. But you know we can. How does this apply to the new year? Okay, so we get back to our question. Philippians 2, 5 through 8. Have this attitude in yourself, which was what? Although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as a thing to be grasped. But he what? Taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men, being found in the appearance of man, he what? Humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even the death on a cross. When you think about what he did for you and what he was, doesn't it move you a little bit? Can't you see this all-powerful being that whose power supports all the planets in the universe? He supports the power in every atom in your body. Going to a cross and doing his Father's will. So, I remind you, John 5, 19. Therefore, Jesus answered and was saying to them, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do what? Unless it is something he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, these things the Son does in like manner. There was a man who is our best example of this, and he's the guy I want to be like. Enoch lived 65 years and became the father of Methuselah. Then Enoch what? 300 years. And after he became the father of Methuselah, and he had other sons and daughters, so all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Enoch what? And he was not, for God took him. Here was a man. There's nothing in the Bible recorded about him except that he walked with God, which means he did what Jesus did. He didn't do his will. He did his Father's will. Romans 8, 12 through 14. So then, brethren, we are under obligation not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you're living according to the flesh, you must what? But if by the Spirit you're putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit, these are sons of God. Okay. All who are what? Led by the Spirit. Led by the Spirit. Led by the Spirit. These things keep going over in my mind. I remind you, Jesus said, I can do nothing on my initiative. As I hear a judge and my judgment is just. Because I what? Do not seek my own will, but the will of Him who sent me. For you've been called for this purpose, since Christ has suffered for you, leaving you as a what? An example for you to follow in His steps. There's only one New Year's resolution. It's found in Romans 8, 4 through 6. That's the first part. So that the requirements of the law might be what? Who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who are according to the Spirit, what? On the things of the Spirit. For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. Now, if your mind is set on the Spirit, and the Spirit is leading every act of your life, will you have trouble with your weight? We're in the flesh. You're right. Because this is a growing process. But if you were totally led by the Spirit, if every act of your life was directed by Him, would you have trouble with your weight? Would you have trouble with staying in touch with people? If the Spirit was leading you every single day in every way. If the Spirit was leading you, would you quit smoking, save money, cut your stress, volunteer, go back to school? All these things. If the Spirit is leading you, you will do every instant what God wants you to do. You got it? These are not a problem. These are all symptoms. Got it? These are all symptoms of not being led by the Spirit. Hey, I got something that you might not have thought of. One of these days, we're going to heaven, and guess what? We're going to follow what the Spirit wants us to do through eternity. The devil rebelled against it. He said, I'm doing it my own way. I'm sorry. God is perfect. If you're led by the Spirit, everything you do will be, finish the sentence, perfect. If you're led by the Spirit totally in every way, everything you do will be perfect. Now, it may not seem perfect. Let's suppose I'm in an alley and I'm attacked by a man with a gun. And the Spirit leads me to do something, to say something to him like, hey, brother, 10 years from now, you're going to see something. Please don't miss it. And he shoots me. And he makes me a paraplegic. Could that be God's will? Could that be God's will? It may not be what I want, but it could be God's will. We all want what's best. None of us want cancer. None of us want anything that's bad. But if we're led by the Spirit, everything leads to a good place because He's in charge. Can you see that? One final question. If the Spirit is leading every act of your life, is there another resolution? If the Spirit directed you to come here, if the Spirit directs you as you're driving home to stop and knock on a door that you didn't expect it to happen. I knew a lady once when I taught in our school system. And she told me she was driving home one day. She lived in Washington, D.C. And she was driving down into the state below that. What is that? She was driving and she passed this big home, I think, that was once one of the founders of this country. And she drove by and she said, it came to her mind, you should stop and drive in there. So she turned her car and she drove in there. She paid a little fee and walked in. Why am I doing this? And as she was there, she met a man who wanted some answers to some questions about God. And she spent some time praying with him. As she left. Will those kind of things happen if you're led by the Spirit? I remember one time I was passing out literature on Sabbath. And I came to the door, and it was a pamphlet on Jesus' second coming. And I said, "Hi, we have some material about Jesus we'd like to share with you." He said, "I'm not interested," and he started to close the door. I stuck my foot in the door. I said, "But wait, you want to read this? It's good." And he said, he tried to close it, but my foot was there. And I said, "Now, why did that happen? I've never done that before or since." I looked at him and I said, "Well, before we go, can we pray with you?" He let go of the knob and he looked at me and he said, "You know, my church is right down the street and nobody's asked me to do that before. Let's pray." So I prayed with him. I handed him the literature. And he said, "Oh, by the way, I've got some stuff in the backyard, some squash and some tomatoes you'll love. Come back with me." He gave us this big bag of stuff. He said, "Come back and visit us." We came back because he had cancer and he died about 2 months later. Now, sometimes is it best to do something that you normally wouldn't do if you're led by the Spirit? I'm going to guess that everyone in the room here is just like me. You need that more. You need that every act of your life to be led by the Spirit. After church, we have a group sitting here in the front. I'd like you to invite you to join us. We only pray for one thing up here. Guess what that is? We only pray that the Spirit will lead us. We pray that the Spirit will open doors this next week. That the Spirit will lead us to people who need us. That the Spirit will not just lead us, but put words in our mouth. Because guess what? I don't know what to say most of the time. Do you? Without God's Spirit, I don't know what to say. I don't know how to act. I don't know anything. But if I'm led by Him, guess what? Can't miss. Is the Spirit leading every act of your life? Is there any other resolution? Let's pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, please come into our hearts. Help us to see the importance of this act of letting you direct everything we do. We know there will be no accident that we have that is not in your will if you're leading. We know that we need to fear nothing for now or the future when you're leading us. Please help each one in this room, and myself included, to make that our number one goal this year. And I pray these things in your name. Amen.